is faithful. God is true. You know, I absolutely love when God comes and does miracles. Don't you love it? Absolutely love it. And I'll tell you why I love it. Because there's a victory that Christ won. Kaya referred to this. So great, so expansive, so all-inclusive, that when he rose from the dead, everything, including all evil, all sickness, all disaster, came under his feet. He's not only Lord of the good things of this world, he's Lord of the bad things. He's actually in charge of the devil. Do you understand that? He's actually Lord and conquering hero over everything. Nothing excluded, including the diseases that try to come against your body or the negative things that try to come against you. He's Lord of those things also. This expansive, enormous victory will be fully realized when Christ comes again and stands again physically on this earth. The Bible calls it the resurrection or the day. Everything will fit rightly into his place, and the manifestation of this victory will be everywhere. But in the meantime, his church is meant to take this victory and pull it through our prayers, pull it through our actions into the now. This future thing that is coming is meant to be a felt reality for Christ's church. And when we see a miracle happen, it's like the veil just parts a bit. And we see something. We see victory. We see Christ's supremacy. We see his absolute and complete establishment of his kingdom. And there's something that in my heart, and I know in your heart too, because you're born again of the Spirit of the living God. There's something in your heart that longs for the full manifestation. And so when you see these things, your heart just lights up. You want to see a powerful God. Why? Because it speaks of the victory that you know should be there and is coming. There's a longing in every heart to see more and more of that. And as we push into that, indeed we can. That's the promise Christ made us. Greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father. There's a promise that the church carries of a manifestation of this kingdom in the now world, in our everyday world. Yeah, I know that's a good word, guys. That's a good word. Today I'm going to be talking about longing. I'm going to be talking about desire. I'm going to be talking about passion. You know, there are three kinds of longings or needs or desires in our hearts. There's normal everyday stuff. Like you get hungry, you get thirsty. Is there anyone under the age of 16 in this room? You feel a need for sex? If you're hungry, you go and have some food. If you're thirsty, you go and have a drink. If you need sex, you get married. You hear me? God has an answer for every physical need. And he has an answer for every other need too, because there are other needs that we have, other desires and passions. We have some that, you know we shouldn't have. We long for things that somehow we know that if we have them, they will be destructive. Sometimes we give vent to those longings. And then we have to lie on our face and repent. And those longings, what they actually are, is they are legitimate needs met in an illegitimate way. It's not the need that's the problem. It's where you think it will be satisfied that is the problem. And what God wants to do, and I'm hoping he will do it today, is take us from those illegitimate things to the legitimate way he means for every need to be satisfied. He's a satisfying God. He created you with needs because he intended to fulfill them. If he created you with needs and desires and then made no way for them to be satisfied, then he's a cruel God. But he's not a cruel God. He's a loving and good God. In other words, everything within you, where you feel empty or in need, God has an answer for that. There's also a third category of desire. And it goes like this. It's when everything's going right around you. When everything you've prayed for is in place. But somehow, in your heart, you still feel dissatisfied. You still feel restless. Have any of you felt that? It's, you know, you've just had a surprise birthday party and all the best people were there and you got everything you wanted and everyone loved you and it was fantastic, and then everyone leaves and you still feel some emptiness there. It's like a restlessness for something more than this world can give you. C.S. Lewis, a very famous man, a very old man, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he said this: if you find in yourself desires that the world cannot satisfy, it is proof that you are made for a different world. It's proof that you're made for a different world. And every human being has this innate longing for the kingdom of God. An innate longing for eternity. An innate longing for an eternal experience with the living God in which he satisfies them completely. In which everything is in the right place. In which order, love, and beauty, majesty, justice, perfection is manifested around them. The reason you're dissatisfied with the world as it is because you were made for another world. There is a longing in you for something more. And this brings me to our final commandment. We are in a series on the Ten Commandments. And you wonder, where is she going with this? Here is our final of the commandments. It goes like this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. To covet means to have an intense desire, an earnest longing, to lust after. That's what it means. I want you to notice something. God didn't say, do not covet anything. Did you notice that? He was very specific what you couldn't covet. Now, obviously, these are categories, because none of your neighbors have a donkey. I understand that. If your neighbor gets a donkey, you're calling the police, because it's just weird in Joburg. We don't have donkeys. So I understand that it's more than just those specific things. What he's saying, don't covet what belongs to someone else. But what he does not say, don't covet, full stop. Did you notice that? And that's helpful, because I know every single one of you is coveting something. You see, he didn't say, you shall not covet, full stop. And as always, the New Testament comes in and completes the Old Testament. Completes it and explains it. And so luckily, we can go to a New Testament verse and we can see some of the things we are allowed to covet. Yes. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love, the Apostle Paul said. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. You've read it many times, but you didn't know the depth of what it's actually saying. Because when it says eagerly desire, it's the Greek version of the Old Testament word to covet, to lust after, to passionately want. And here's another interesting thing about that verse. Is that word, oh my gosh, I was moving my hands too much. Take it back. Now I've spoiled my own secret. The word, sorry team, we have signals and I inadvertently gave the signal. Spiritual gifts, the word gifts there is only added by the English translators to make it make sense in English. But the actual Greek, is zelopneumatikos. Please give me a round of applause. I practiced that for hours. My non-Greek speaking person managed to get two Greek words out. So, and what it literally means is lust after, earnestly go after, passionately pursue, desire, long for, not spiritual gifts, the spiritual. That's simply what it says. It's saying that there are two realities that you are living in and your heart must passionately pursue, long, go after that which is not material, the God realm. Eternity, God's, who God is, that longing that I spoke that is innate in every person's heart, that longing for something more than the physical realm. He's saying, give vent to it. Enlarge it. Make it bigger. Jesus, when he was doing his great Sermon on the Mount, he said this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. In other words, what Paul was saying, what Jesus was saying in his sermon is that, guys, if you want to be fully human, if you want to live out my call on your life, if you want to live out the fullness of who you were meant to be, that longing you have for supernatural power, that longing you have for righteousness, holiness, the longing you have to know God, to be with Him, to be united to Him, give vent to it. Make yourself more hungry. Push in. Pursue. Go to church. Pray. Read your Bibles. Believe. Hang around Christians that are believing with you so that that hunger can actually grow in you and that you can push into the things that you really want and you really need. So that you can be fully satisfied. Now, believe it or not, I've had two verses there, but it's not the main scripture I want to talk about. I'm going to now go to the main scripture I'm going to talk about. And it's in James 4, Jesus' brother. Who, can you imagine growing up with Jesus, guys? I mean, can you just picture it for a moment? I mean, that feeling of intense desire for more must have been extreme in James' heart. You understand? I mean, he's seen Jesus do these miracles all over the place. He knows, listen, he grew up in the same family as me. Why don't I have that? Please, every time you read the Bible, would you ask yourself that question? When you see miracles that you haven't actually seen happen around you, would you say, God, please, I need that too? And James wrote this. He said, he was talking about some quarrels in the churches. He said, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. You know what I'm saying? James was that kind of a guy. If he thought it, he said it. There it is right there. I want us to look at three phrases there. He says that you have desires that battle within you. Is he talking to the right audience? I mean, are there any people here who've had desires battle within you? I mean, that second category of desires I talked about for wrong things versus your desire for righteousness and holiness. Have they ever warred in your soul? Sure. Guys, I need a louder answer than that because I need to know I'm in the right place. Yeah, because it's not only Andrew. I know that. Guys, we've all And let me reassure those of you who didn't want to say, yes, I have desires battling in your heart. Guys, don't worry. We know you have. So you may as well just say yes, because that's what it is to be human in this world. We battle between these two things. But Christ has the victory. And how do we live in the victory instead of the battle? And then you do not have because you do not ask. Heck, I didn't know I could just ask. We're going to talk about that. And then when you ask with the wrong motives. It's like you're looking at the wrong thing. It's like you're aiming, the bullseye, God's bullseye is there and you're shooting over here. So the three things I want to talk about are the quality of your desires, the quality of your ask, and the quality of your reward. What are you aiming at? The quality of your desire. Have you ever fasted? If you're in this church, you have, because we do it every beginning of the year. But have you ever, while you were fasting, decided, heck, I feel so great, I'm going to go for a run? I have. And you know what? Outside of my house when I did this was downhill first of all. So I actually felt like I was doing okay. I was like, yeah, well, I can do this. Who needs food? Andrew's making jokes at the front. For those at you back, he said I was running fast. Going downhill. But very shortly after that, there is a massive uphill. 5 steps into that uphill, I realized I hadn't eaten for a couple of days. My muscles just said, no. No. I don't care how much you will it. We're not doing it. And so I walked up that hill. And when I got to the top, I said, downhill's better. So I turned around and came back home. But you see, if you don't feed something, it won't work. And when we have these battles of desires inside of us, what we feed will become strong. What we don't feed will become weak. And so when we feed desires for our neighbor's donkey, our neighbor's servant, our neighbor's wife, our neighbor's house, if we feed the desires to just have what everyone else has, to have what the Kardashians are displaying to us, to have whatever is going on around us, you know, when we feed those desires, they become stronger. Where do you spend, what do you spend your time putting before your eyes? Guys, don't tell me that you're battling with desires for, Listen, I was going to go worse than cars. But if you're battling for something ungodly, but you've been watching it on TV, on your Netflix, on your wherever for weeks up until that point. If you've been watching people sleeping with everyone they want to, don't come and tell me that you've got inordinate desires to sleep with people. Because you're putting it in front of your eyes continuously. Of course you're feeding that desire. Of course it's going to get that bigger. As was said in the front, if you're watching Formula One all the time, don't come and tell me you want to empty your bank accounts to buy a Ferrari. You see, if you feed it, it will grow. But if you feed your desire for the thing you were made for, if you feed your desire for God, if you're putting in front of your eyes godliness, righteousness, the concepts of the kingdom, if they're constantly before you, that is what's going to grow. Have you ever been to a Christian conference? And you know, day in and day out, you are listening to speakers, you are reading your Bible, there are prayer meetings here and there. What do you feel like at the end of that Christian conference? Jesus. You just want Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? Why is that? Because you were feeding that desire. You were feeding that desire. Here are two hectic and beautiful scriptures. You can just write them down. I'm not going to actually read them. I'm going to refer to them. But it talks in 2 Corinthians that we all must sit before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you hear that? Every single one of us are going to sit before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't like that word judgment. But what it also says is that when we sit before that judgment seat of God, of Christ, we will be rewarded according to what we have done or not done, good or bad. First Corinthians 3, Paul says it a little bit differently. He talks about the fact that we all build on the foundation of Christ. We can't build on any other foundation. But he says we can either build with gold, silver, and precious stones, or we can build with wood, hay, and stubble. And he says when that day comes, the judgment seat of Christ day, everything that we have been, that we have done will be revealed. It will be brought into the light. There will be no more veils. Everything you've thought, everything you've done, secret and public, will be there. And that if you have built with gold, silver, and precious stones, it says the fire of his presence will come and devour your work. And if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, it will stand. Because those things can withstand fire. But if it is wood, hay, and stubble, it will be burned up like that. It will be as if it never happened. So what Paul is saying, he's saying that when you come to Christ, the glory and the majesty of who he is going to reveal everything. It's going to reveal everything. And the power of his holiness will destroy anything that did not come out of his heart, out of who he was. Didn't come from his grace in your life. Now, all of you are saying, heck, this is harsh. I got saved, and when I got saved on this premise that God accepted me absolutely unconditionally. Do you remember that? It's absolutely true. You are saved by grace through faith. There is no other way. But this is not that judgment. So there's a second judgment when we will all actually come before Christ and we will see him for who he is. And our works will be judged and they will be rewarded. We hate that word judgment. Why do we hate it? Because we think of our fathers on that mad day with the stick who was just coming after you. Or we think of the detentions we got at school. And we think of judgment like that. But judgment in the Bible is not like that. Judgment in the Bible is unveiling and revealing. So when we stand before Christ, the whole point of that will be to show what's really there. And if you have walked with Christ, if you have lived with him, there will be so much gold, silver, and precious stones there. But you see, what we are desiring, what we are pushing into now, will determine what that day looks for us, will determine what is displayed before Christ. And the purpose of that for God is not to humiliate you. It's not to make things bad. It's to show how much good there is in your heart. And here's the beautiful thing. He rewards those things. He rewards those things. You see, how you prioritize your desires today matters for eternity. The quality of your ask. I'd like to thank my friend Janine for a podcast she sent me where I got this analogy from. But how long do you intend to live? 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years? I don't know. You don't even have to say your name, your number out loud. Just hold it in your head. How does that many years compare with eternity? Have you ever thought about that? Do you remember at school when you're working with the concept of eternity? How many times does any number go into eternity? Infinite amount of times. How many times does infinity go into your life? The answer is always zero. You see, in comparison to infinity, your life is always zero. So what does that mean? That means that the light and momentary troubles of this life in comparison to the glory that is coming cannot compare. It means that if you have to change things and live in a way that's a little bit more difficult for you than it is now, in comparison to the rewards and the glory that are coming, it's nothing, guys. It's nothing. And so, sometimes when I examine my own prayers, do you ever examine your own prayers? Sometimes when I examine my own prayers, I see myself asking for things that really don't matter. Has my computer run out of power? No, they're fine. So sometimes we're longing and asking for things that don't matter. And you've heard me say this a number of times, is that I sometimes examine my prayers and I notice I'm just praying too small. I remember when I was praying for a husband. I mean, I got a small one, but but he's big on the inside. But I remember one day God challenging me and asking me, what do I really want? Do I just want a pretty marriage that can go on a postcard? Or like a, you know, that I can be on a reality show, or, you know, that I can have like nice little children around me that's, you know, all dressed similarly and all say, good morning, sir, politely. I mean, what am I asking for? And he challenged me. He said, do you want a husband or do you want to change the world? And so I changed my prayers. And I said this, would you make me the kind of woman who can marry the kind of man who will change the world? Amen. That became my prayer. Why? Because he took my mind from the temporal to the eternal. And he said, what matters for eternity? Do your prayers matter for eternity? Are you praying things worthy of the eternity that is coming? Are you praying things that are worthy of this enormous victory that Christ has won? Are you praying things that reflect who God is and who you are in God? Or are you concerned with things that don't matter? I like my nails nice, but heck, does it matter? So I don't spend much time praying about my nail technician, you understand? I do pray a lot about her salvation. But whether my nails are nice or not is immaterial to the truth of eternity. And more important is, will she be saved? Honestly and truly, I have my nails done so that I can witness to that lady. Matthew 6:33 says this. What does it say? Seek first. Guys, you come and be up here and see what happens. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, if you pray the big things, the small things come too. If you focus on the eternal, what really matters, if you focus on the God things, what happens is all the other things fall into place. Why? Because you get Jesus, and when Jesus is in your life, everything must fall into its right place. Guys, I'm passionate about this. How are you feeling? How you ask today matters for eternity. How you ask for today matters. How you ask today matters for eternity. The quality of your reward, guys. Now, this is the good part. I've hammered you. Now I'm going to bless you. The quality of your reward. You know that time you were at your hairdresser or barber and you shared something that Jesus had done in your life and there was absolute silence and the scissors got a little bit quicker and the things happened a bit faster and you thought, heck, what did I do? There was no comment. There was no response. And you went away and you felt silly. Has anyone ever felt silly? Here's the good news. God saw you did that. And that was gold, silver, and precious stones. He sees and he rewards. How about those times you passed over that lucrative deal? Because the only way you could get it was by paying a bribe. You passed over and you walked away from the deal, leaving millions behind. And I'm not saying this just as hypothetical. We heard in our Connect group someone just say they walked away from 13 million for this very reason. And you leave there and you think this, heck, Lord, heck. Other words come to mind. But I'm just saying, heck. No one saw you in that room walk away. No one knows. Now they know. But at the time, no one knew. But God saw. And my friends, 13 million, 100 million, 5 billion pales in comparison to what's coming because you said no, because you stood your ground, because you stood on Christ, because you did the right thing. It pales in comparison to the reward that is coming. That woman walked up to you with hardly any clothes on and made suggestions to you that sounded quite nice. And you walked away. Guys, what is coming pales in comparison to what you said no to. There are rewards that you haven't even begun to imagine. The Bible describes those rewards as great, rich, more than you've seen, heard, or imagined. What is great for God? I mean, think about that for a moment. This God who spews universes out of his mouth when he talks. What does a great reward look like for him? The God who paves his heaven with gold. He walks on the most precious metal that we can even think of. He uses it under his feet. What is rich for that God? I mean, I'm asking that question. It blows your mind. You can't even imagine it. It doesn't even begin to compare to what rich is here. Elon Musk, you don't know. More than you've seen, heard, or imagined. Guys, I can imagine some good things. Seriously. I have a fantastic imagination. That doesn't even begin to lift the scale in comparison to what's coming. And when we are having to choose the God alternative instead of the ungodly alternative, we must keep in mind that everything we do, everything we say, in secret, in public, is being weighed. Not to judge you or to make it harsh, to reward you. And there is magnificence coming that you have not even begun to ask for. When I said your prayers were too small, I absolutely mean it. You could not even pray for what God is going to give you. I mean, this is what I imagine. I mean, I literally imagine in heaven, me and God, we are going to create a new universe. I mean, we're going to even work out the physics. We are going to do the works. We're going to design the colors, the trees, the animals. Heck, I'm ready. Even that pales in comparison to the rewards that are coming. Things you will be rewarded for. They're the scriptures. You can go and look at them. There's so many. Enduring insults and persecution. Giving in secret. Guys, the next time you give, just don't tell anyone. Praying or fasting when no one sees. Confidence in God. When you actually believe God and stand confidently in that belief, it's a reward on its way. Taking care of Jesus' disciples, receiving a prophet or righteous person, serving Christ, doing good, sacrificing to follow Christ. When you do this, you are creating something eternal that God is bringing to you. And guys, we don't even do it for the reward because Christ is enough. But there are times when we do those things where it feels hard. And the devil would try and offer you temporary rewards for actually doing the opposite. And we can get deceived into thinking we absolutely need that immediate reward. We absolutely need that couple of million. We absolutely need that girl, that guy. We absolutely need that pass, so let's just quickly cheat. We absolutely need this fix now. Forgetting what we're missing out on because we said yes to this temporary thing. And because we're so inundated with the world around us, we forget that there is eternity coming. And this life is a zero in comparison to that. So guys, let's suck it up and do what's right. Let's pray in secret. Let's give in secret. Let's love. Why? Because it's worth it. It's worth it in the now, and it's worth it into eternity. I will. You see, how you live today matters for eternity. How you live today matters for eternity. Because you see, sometimes we have grown up in homes where no one saw us. Where we were lost in the crowd. And it didn't matter what you did. Sometimes we're in workplaces where we're just one of the crowd. And whether you do your work well or not, you know, the big corporations are going to keep going. And we can be deceived by those environments to think that our lives don't really matter. We can be deceived into thinking that it doesn't matter whether I show up on a Sunday or not at church. It doesn't matter how well I do my work or don't do my work. It doesn't matter how well I love my neighbor or not love my neighbor. We can be deceived into thinking that these things don't matter. But they really do, because there's a God who sees. And there's a God who is longing to pile up reward after reward after reward for you. If you believe in Jesus, you're saved. The reward's there. It's a good reward. It's fantastic. But on top of that, there are some delightful things God wants to pour out on you in eternity. For eternity, guys. That's forever. Forever. Unable to lose that reward ever. Always have it. Always, always, always. You see, how you live today really matters. How you answer that policeman who stopped you for speeding, it really matters. What you do when no one's looking really matters. It really matters. Because there's a God who loves you and sees you and is watching every sacrifice you make, every choice for Him that you make. And He's a God who rewards. He's a God who rewards. The eternal rewards awaiting you are worth any sacrifice. The eternal rewards waiting you are worth any sacrifice. So, Lord Jesus, would you come? Would you pour out your Spirit? Holy Spirit, you're so faithful. You're so faithful. So faithful. Lord, we acknowledge that we are saved by grace. And Father God, even the good works we do are by grace. But Lord God, every moment of the day, grace is available to us. Holy Spirit, would you help us to take the grace offering you are offering us, to take the empowering presence of your Spirit in us to do what's right and to say no to what is evil. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that we're living for eternity. That every person that we meet is an eternal soul. And our conversation with them matters. It matters. Holy Spirit, come. Pour out your Spirit on us. We want to know you better. And Lord God, we acknowledge that so many times we forgot that you're with us. We forgot about eternity and we got consumed with the now and the temporal and what's around us, Lord God, and we repent. Holy Spirit, we repent. Holy Spirit, the hardships around us have also deceived us into thinking that this is all there is. Holy Spirit, I speak right now to every heart that is feeling like no one sees the sacrifices they're making. And I want to speak to you and I want to say, God sees, God sees, God sees. And Holy Spirit, help us to remember what's true. Help us to remember what's true. I spoke earlier that we're all saved by grace. That playing field is absolutely level. No one gets more or less than everyone. We all get all Jesus. And all it takes is us saying yes to Him, to acknowledge that the way we've run our life under our own steam, under our own direction, is not leading us toward righteousness, wholeness, blessing. And we have to turn to Him and just say, Jesus, your death and resurrection is the only way that I can come to God. And I'm going to invite us all to stand for a moment. And if you are here, and you know, I'm going to invite you right now to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I surrender my life. I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I repent for being in charge of my own life. I repent for my sin and I turn to you. Lord Jesus, come and save me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I know we all prayed it together. So if you prayed that prayer, but you were seriously entering into something new with Jesus, I would love you to raise your hand because I'd love to pray with you personally. Is there anyone here who's done that this morning? If you just wouldn't mind raising your hand so that we can acknowledge you and welcome you into the community of Jesus. Is there anyone who prayed that prayer? Let's just give it a moment. I felt like there were three people here. If that's you, won't you just raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to invite those people to please come forward after the service. I would love to speak to you. God has an appointment for you that is filled with His presence and is glorious. For the rest of you, how would you just like some more of the Spirit? Raise your hands. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come and fill every single person here. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge we're all in the same boat. We all have desires that wage war in our souls, Lord God. And Father God, we want to say yes to you and no to those other desires, Lord God. We want the power of your presence in us, Lord God, empowering us to do the right thing, Lord God. We're looking towards eternity and we're acknowledging, Holy Spirit, that you are there. Lord God, we want to ask for more of your presence, more of your grace in Jesus' name. Right now, you will just feel energy filling your body or peace filling your body. Won't you just take that in? That's Him saying yes to your big prayer. Yes to your big prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. God bless you. Go and live and pray like Jesus wanted you to. God bless you. Have a glorious